You are now listening to Talk Your Jizz Podcast.
Welcome back to the Talk Your Jizz Podcast. This podcast is, as the name implies, all about jiu-jitsu. I'm your host, Lamar Smith. And stepping on the mats is a blue belt who trains at Elevate BJJ, located in Richmond, London. Ladies and gentlemen, Javier Astana.
Hey, everyone.
What's up, my brother?
It's all good, man. Looking forward to this.
I know, man. We've been playing time tag a little bit here.
We're both in different parts of the world. It's just like 5 o'clock my time. What time is it there? Oh, I don't know. Let's just make it happen.
I know, right? But now we are here. We are here.
That's it. We got done.
Yep. Well, first and foremost, man, I appreciate you coming on the show, man. Blessing us with your jiu-jitsu knowledge, man.
Ooh. It's very, very limited. But hey, I'll do my best. I'm only a blue belt.
Hey, some is better than none, right?
Yeah. Yes. That is definitely true.
All right, well, let's get the ball rolling, man. So go ahead, if you want to formally introduce yourself again, by all means, and let's hear about your jiu-jitsu journey so far.
Yeah, sweet. So my name is Javier, and I started jiu-jitsu in 2014-ish. And I got into it at like a weird time in my life where I didn't kind of know what I was doing. I was working as a recruitment consultant, and I was doing Aikido. I did Aikido for a month, but Aikido was a bit strange. So I looked up Aikido versus, and that came up with, did anyone watch Baki the Grappler? So there was a scene in Baki the Grappler where the jiu-jitsu guy takes out the karate guy. And I was like, oh, where can I find this? So my local school was Chiswick BJJ, and I joined there. As soon as I joined, it was just a bunch of weirdos. And I was like, this is where I belong. Just moronic 20 something year olds all talking about random crap. And I was like, okay, this is me. This is what I should do. My first lesson, they put me against a kid called Will. And I was like, oh, I'm 23. I'm going to kill this guy. And Will put me to sleep. And when I woke up, the instructor was like, oh, are you okay? And I was like, can I join? He's like, Oh, yeah, join up. And then since then, I've moved clubs a lot. Every 2 years, I'll go to a different club. I really enjoy loads of different styles of teaching. I've gone from Chiswick to Shoot Fighters. I trained a lot at 10th Planet London when that opened up. I've done at least maybe 300 or 400 classes in different schools. I've done loads of open mats. It's an exciting like sport just because it's so new. So you get to train with like world champs, but then you can also train with like Ted the plumber who kick your ass. He's just so strong. But it's been cool. I think jiu-jitsu is a weird one still, but it is getting oversaturated, I find now. Loads of schools, but everyone still gets taught by the same crew of people, especially in London.
Gotcha. I think everyone had that experience when they first started doing jiu-jitsu. They had a mind about themselves and what they think they could do, and then once they step on that mat, it's like a totally different outcome than what you thought was going to happen in your head. Oh
yeah, I mean, you get completely owned. You're like, oh yeah, I'll just crush them, or I'll hold them in a headlock, and then they get out of it, and you're like, what do I do now? Nothing. You just get
nothing. You accept it.
you get like someone knee on belly in you, and you go like, I should be able to get out of here,
right?
But you don't. You're just there.
Yeah.
What about you, man? How did you start up in it?
Kind of the same, man. I had just started working a different job. My weight was getting out of control, and it was like I wanted to find something active to do. I was kind of going to the gym, but I wanted something a little bit more. I've always been like a huge fan of martial arts. A friend of mine's introduced me to it, and my first class was an open mat.
Well,
so
that's dangerous. Yeah, straight to open mat.
Straight to open mat. Straight to open mat. So, but yeah, so he was like, you know, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to roll, you know, if you want to just sit back and watch or whatever. So I was like, well, I'm here, might as well just give it a shot anyway. So I got owned by someone younger than me, and the second row was like he was a blue belt older guy, and he's like a mailman. So I'm like, God. I was like, yeah, I got this. I got this.
No, you don't got this.
I don't have this. I don't have this. Yeah. I went home that day, and my wife was like, how was class? I was like, yep. Yep. Nice. And then after that, man, I was just like, yeah, I gotta figure this out. I gotta figure out how was someone so small was able to like hold me down. Cause I think when I started training, I was like 280 something.
What's that in kg? Is that 100 kg? Because like a pound, I always double. So we must be 100 plus kg.
Sure. I'll say 99 plus.
Nice, yeah. No way.
It was a humbling experience. But after that, I decided to like, yeah, let me stick around for a minute. And
question, actually, do you ever have your wife come training with you, or did you ever like get her to see you spar or roll or compete?
Yeah, when I started training jiu-jitsu, she would eventually start coming to class. And then, like, we'll be working techniques, and my instructor will walk over to her. Is like, okay, hey, you want to try? And she's like, no. But then after so long, she actually started training.
Oh, nice.
She's still a white belt. She had to step off the mats for a minute because kids and then COVID. So it was a mess. So she'll be getting back into it soon. But yeah, she was getting pretty good when she stopped right before COVID, and then we was about to have our second child. So she was like a four stripe white belt when she stopped.
Oof. Yeah, that's hard. She was almost there, almost at blue. Then she quit normally.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. She wants to come back though, but yeah.
What about your kids? Do they train?
My oldest daughter does. She trains. Nice. Yeah, the school that we at now, we just started our kids program maybe like a few months ago. So she's been like excited about coming back to jiu-jitsu. So yeah. Then I got my 5-year-old. She likes more striking because she has autism. So jiu-jitsu is not she can grasp right away with the movements and stuff, but she still likes it. She still tries.
Sure. So,
yeah.
Is it so you've got two daughters, one's older, mm-hmm. one's younger. Your mm-hmm. older one does train. Is she gray belt mm-hmm. or above orange?
She's a two stripe white. She's still a two stripe white belt.
Oh, okay, cool.
How does it
work over there? Like you guys have gray belt and things like that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So it goes like
he has like white belt, then like gray and white, then gray or something like that.
And do you teach as well?
I do.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
Yeah. Nice. I train in as much. I teach more than I train, but yeah, I teach.
I mean, I think teaching is quite an interesting one. You have a normal day job, I'm guessing. Plus you teach on your, you're a teacher full time.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. How is it?
Yeah. It's nerve wracking, but yeah, I do. I teach jiu-jitsu, I teach boxing, and also I'm a personal trainer. So sweet. My whole life is the gym now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Because I love it. Boxing. It's quite an interesting one because boxing I've never really done, but I watched a lot of. Do you know anime at all?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know Ippo? Like Hajime no Ippo? I watched that since I was like however old. So I always wanted to try boxing. And then when I started boxing, it was really fun because it was so different from jiu-jitsu. I'd been training about 8 years at this stage. And it was so different from grappling that I loved it. And it gave me that thrill again of like being so new to something. Because after 8 years, you kind of figure out most things. But with boxing, it was like relearning how to use my body
yeah
in a way that was so different.
Yeah, It's funny. I'll send you the picture of it. I just did Ippo. I just did a mural at the gym I train of Ippo on the wall.
No way.
Yeah.
Nice. What did you do? Was it Ippo in the front or was it his team or?
No, it was just him. It was just him with the peekaboo guard up.
Peekaboo style.
Yeah, I sent it to you.
Mate, peekaboo style does not work for me. I went for more like the hitman style because I like the flicker jab. Mm-hmm. But I'm too short for that. At 5'5", I'm like, oh, I'm going to be Thomas Hearns. Nah.
Said nine, it's just not working. I'm just getting beat up the whole time. it's been fun, man. It's been a fun ride. Boxing has always been my first love before I even got into like jiu-jitsu and stuff. But when I was younger, my parents was like, no, I don't want you doing that because I don't want you getting punched in the head and brain damage and stuff like that. But I was like, but it's fun. I want to do this. But
I think this is the thing, right? Like I had an ex, we got together, it was all good. And then she hated the fact that I did combat sports. And I was like, but it makes me happy. And she's like, why can't you do something normal? And I was like, but it's normal for me.
Right. What's normal?
That's what I was saying. I was like, what do you think normal for me is? Because normal for me is to go into a padded room and try and choke my buddy out. And normal for you is to go for a swim. But I would find that boring and you'd find this strange. So we need to come to an understanding.
But I think go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say combat sports is that. I think it takes a certain type of person to make that their hobby. Because I don't think.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I've tried the normal jobs. I've worked in retail. I've worked, whatever. But being in the gym, working out martial arts and everything has just been like the only thing that keeps me sane. So I was like, okay, I need to segue this into how can I make this a full-time thing? So that's for the last, 3-4 years, I've been working towards just that, making this a full-time job. And it's finally, last month was like, last month when I started, becoming like basically a full-time instructor.
Mate, that's so recent. That's so scary as well. Cause like you need, it's the same as me. I'm a sports therapist. So I look after combat athletes. Mm-hmm. When I took that as my primary job, shat myself. I was like, I now can't look for a boss to pay me. I have to get clients. If it's a drama, I don't eat well. If it's bad, it comes to me to make it better. And that's what you're in, man. Like 1 month in, like congratulations. But
thank you.
You got a family.
That's the scary part about it, man. It's like, okay, am I mentally like suitable for this type of quote unquote employment? Because like you said, I have to make my own check. I have to make, I have to make sure that I'm out here getting clients, getting students, and doing whatever I can to bring money home. Because if I don't move, I don't eat. If I don't eat, my kids don't eat. And then,
And the thing is, you can't fall back on anything. You can't get ill. You can't, you can't be like, I don't feel it today. You go, you earn. That's your life now.
Yeah.
Until you get more instructors and you become more a brand than a singular force driving your business forward.
Mm-hmm.
Are you the primary instructor in your school?
No. Luckily, okay. I'm not. So the school that I teach at is called Rise Up Martial Arts. And the owner, Jake, he's a phenomenal guy. He has a karate background. So he's been training jiu-jitsu with us. And so I teach at, I teach the jiu-jitsu and kids class at his school.
Nice.
Yeah. So
what's the rate like there? Because in England, it's pretty crap. Like if you're just an instructor that comes in and out of academies, you're looking at anywhere between £30 to £35 or £40 if you're lucky.
Now, so with the, so we kind of have a, like, agreement that, you know, we have the students that we have, that we had, we came into the school. So that's kind of like their tuition is like my payment. Okay. So that's why, like, when I, when it comes to teaching classes there, I'm not, I don't charge him anything. It's kind of like a, yeah. So,
okay. I got you. So when you sign someone up, their monthly thing is your payment.
Right.
Wow. Wow. That's a, that's a, that's quite an interesting way to pay your guys. But it's also,
mainly because it's, I do it for the love of it. I know it's not like, I'm not trying to make millions off this. I would love to make $1 million off of teaching jujitsu, but I learned this from my instructor. We just being a love of the sport. Like, if I have enough money to cover the, you know, the bills and everything at the school, I'm cool with that.
But do you think that's why jiu-jitsu schools specifically struggle a lot? Because I've seen a lot of academies that don't see it as a business. They see it as a passion project. And that's And I get it. Like I understand doing something for the love of it. That for me is filmmaking. Like, I don't look to make money from film, but that's why I know I'll never make any money from it. Cause it isn't, I'm not using it as a business. But if I was to, if that was what my bread and butter was, I would look at it more as a business, how to sign up more, how to advertise more, how to get my name out there. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I mean? Because it's, at the end of the day, you're going to make a lot more money if you have more students. For that comes advertising and your name and your brand.
Right.
But as you probably know.
Yeah, I know. I get it. Trust me. I understand it. But like you said, that's where a lot of schools, it's like, yeah, you know, we just do it for the love and the passion for it. And it's like, yeah, we need to start looking at this a little bit more because, you know, I can't call my, you know, I can't call the bill companies like, yeah, I can pay you with my passion.
No one wants that. No one wants your passion. They need money.
Yes.
Well, that's where the struggle, like, that's what I've been struggling with recently because when I started making movies, I looked at it as an art. I was like, oh, we're going to make this and this, and we're going to try and do this and this. But you have to try and, like, market it. That's why, like, like, I was speaking to someone that, like, gets movies funded. He's like, if you can't sell, automatically no companies look at you seriously. You can, you just be another one in the field of artistry. But you need to have a business mind to move forward. And I'm not that guy. I just don't feel like that guy, right?
I'm more so I'm the soldier in the field, man. Like, just give me a mission and I'll go. Like, I don't let me plan nothing because it'll never get done.
This is the thing. I feel like a leader at times, especially when I'm doing something where it's collaborative. I feel like a leader, but I think I'm missing a certain chunk, which I'm learning step by step. Like YouTube or chatting to people who've done it before. But a lot of them just seem to have the idea of just do it. Just try. And that, I think that is the best thing to do. I think it's the same as jiu-jitsu. If you don't try that weird new move, you just stick to one side of your game.
Yeah, and that's I think one of the kind of the big reasons why I love jiu-jitsu so much is because it's so hands-on. Like, if you got to go out there and rep it, you got to go out there and, you know, completely get destroyed to be able to understand, like, okay, I know not to do that again, you know. So,
but you could do it again and see how to get out of it, you know, like,
Right. I mean, that's like you said, that's the only way you're going to learn. Like, if you don't go out there and get beat up and be like, okay, I know next time to not put my foot there or shift a certain way. Or
here's my question to you. If there is a notoriously dangerous grappler, would you grapple with them? Like, okay, this guy's known to pop people's ankles, not on purpose, but by accident, just because he's done it before. Or would you stay away from him?
I'm avoiding him like the plague.
Yeah. I think now, as I get older, I do the same. But when I was first starting out, it was so exciting. oh, he's so mm-hmm. dangerous. I'm going to fight yeah. him. Not fight, but, you know, roll with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have your ankle popped and you go, that wasn't fun.
yeah. But you, I mean, because it's not like I said, it's not like I got money that's you know, coming in so much where it's like, okay, if I get injured, it's okay. I could take a month off. Like, no, this is livelihood I'm talking about here. So I usually, I'll roll with a spastic white belt. That's
yeah, that's it. Different because you know how yeah. to maneuver that.
Yeah, but if this is a guy known for injuring people, even if it's accidental, I'm like, nah.
Yeah, I've seen too many of my mates get like long-term injuries, some life-altering, and you go, crap, like this. I know jiu-jitsu is a combat sport, but I'm a huge casual.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I love it, but I'm not gonna die to not tap to someone. But I've seen some horrific, like jumping guard pulls and like
never.
Jumping up inside of people's knees and botched takedowns or like really aggressive. Like you go, whoa, 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 just relax.
Like, dude, chill. This is a $10 medal. We not.
Oh, no, but if you're even medal, I think most of us get hurt sparring.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, man, we got stuff to do tomorrow. Come on.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's... No, go ahead.
I cut you off. It's your turn.
No, I was just about to say, like, you know, just because that's how I feel about, like, you know, competing. And it's like, yeah, I like to compete. I'm a casual, you know, I compete casually. It's like there might be one coming up. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. But if I miss it, I'm not like, oh, no, I should have been there. It's like, you know, yeah. There's always be another one. I can still go do jiu-jitsu tomorrow. So, you know.
I think, did you see the thing with DJ recently with the knee bar thing?
Mm-hmm.
That was really interesting to me because I love him as an athlete. And what he said was perfect. I'm not getting paid for this shit.
Yeah.
So I don't need to get long-term injuries for something that doesn't get me any monetary gain. Now
yeah.
People are like, oh, for honor. I'm like, no. He's correct. He's not getting anything.
Yeah, because we I think I was – oh, let me see. This was a few years ago. Maybe I was still – I want to say, for the sake of the conversation, I was still a blue belt.
Mm.
And one of my training partners, they did like this little local tournament. Soon as the match started, the guy went for he was on his knees. He got behind him, and he went to go like take his back, and he
take his legs out from underneath.
Yeah, so he went straight back. Instead of him being active toes, his feet was flat. Ooh. So when he fell back, it just said,
oh.
And we were just like, oh shit.
You hear it. Was that audible pop?
It was that, yeah, you heard it.
Oh, man.
You heard it. It literally sounded like someone just did a, and we were just like, did that just happen?
Yeah.
And then he was like, he felt it, and he was like, I'm good, but no, he broke a bone in his leg, and it was just like, yeah, I don't think the idea of competing is all that fun to me anymore.
Hey, it's like we went to a really really local interclub, me and a couple of friends.
Mm-hmm.
I must have been sat. I was sitting on the mat edge. I was watching one of the white belts compete, and I don't know what the other guy was doing, but he decided to do something, and then our guy's knee just exploded, and I was just like, I don't want to compete. And then the referee was like, oh, you're on next. I was like, I don't want to compete. I'm scared that will happen to my knee. And like, I went, we paid whatever £60 to do this. The medals were like those little plastic shit ones, and we were like, I don't have to do this, but you're there, everyone's bringing you on, you go out, you do a little bit, and then, I don't know, I think right now we're in that weird stage of jiu-jitsu where a lot of people who are coming into it make it their whole personality. Mm-hmm. They are jiu-jitsu, they are, oh, I'm a warrior in a jungle, and I'm a gardener, I don't know, what was the saying, like I'm a gardener in a forest or some shit.
Oh yeah, I'm a... I'm a gardener in time of war or something like that. Or yeah, I know what you mean.
I've heard this quote so much. I'm like, mate, you're a blue belt that's been training a year and a half. Relax yourself. You're not a warrior. You are a guy who goes into a padded room with your mates and we fuck around for a bit. Let's not call ourselves warriors. And this is where I'm struggling, because I know I was that guy. I was also someone that came into it at 23, didn't have much going on in his life, and jiu-jitsu gave me that, ooh, I'm a hard man. I'm not a chubby Indian dude no more. I'm tough. Try me. I'm a white belt. I'll take you down.
I think we all went through that, man. Like, once you get, like, yeah, you start training, and then, like, you get your first stripe, and then eventually you get your blue belt, you kind of have this certain air about yourself, like your chest poke out just a little bit more. Yeah. The false confidence, you know, the false confidence, man.
When I got my cauliflower ear, I was so excited. I was like, did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said?
Right, speak in this ear for me. Yeah. Speak in my good ear, right?
Speaking to my good ear, like I was in pubs. I was like, I hope this girl notices my cauliflower ear, because
and that shows I'm cut from a different cloth, man. Because look, I've been training. I don't have a cauliflower ear.
You're not like That's me. Cool. I'm a bottom feeder, mate. I'm bottom side control, trying to get something. You look like you're a pressure fighter.
My school is we are like a lot of big guys. Mm. So I'm used to playing bottom side. So like my bottom game is kind of okay.
Nice. Kind of okay. Yeah. It's overpowered, isn't it? Just get up there, smash.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit.
No. Don't underplay it, man. This is your podcast.
I mean, you know, I'm still a humble guy. So I admit that I'm not the best, but you know, I do it for the love of it, man. You know,
what's your go-to move? That mine's a wrist lock, because I'm a scumbag. So I'll wait.
Dude, I will find a guillotine anywhere. Yes.
Nice. What, like high elbow? What are we looking at? By finger? Anything.
Whatever I can get. Whatever I can get. Cause like I'm not the fastest, and you know, it's like a lot of like the few of the guys that we do train with are wrestlers. So they, you know, they're quick, explosive. So it's like, okay, I need to figure out how I can still work my game and slow you guys down. So I will play. If you shoot in, don't leave your neck there. I'm going to take it. I'm going to guillotine you from bottom, from side, from wherever. I will use it as a sweep. I will use it to get up. Same thing with Kimuras. Like I would, if your arm is there, I would try to Kimura you from any position I can.
I'm the sort of guy who have you in a triangle and wrist lock you, because I'm that guy.
Yeah, we got a good friend like that. Shout out to my boy Cleo. He's like that too. He will wrist lock you from anywhere. Like you leave an arm, he's gonna attack your wrist. He will pass up everything just to wrist lock you.
That is, I think me and Cleo are cut from the same cloth. We know what we like. We like to cause annoyance.
And y'all are two terrible individuals for that.
Because I was waiting for my blue belt, because I had a month of Aikido. I had 3 wrist locks, and I was like, I bet you they work. I bet you they work.
But it made me better, because like the more we rode together, I knew like, okay, he's gonna go for a wrist.
You're not allowed to touch him because he will try and wrist lock.
Yep. Yep. So it made us both better, but yeah, screw you guys.
Nice scum. We love it.
just
we feed off your pain.
Bottom of the barrel crap, dude.
Why learn anything else? There are individual moves of wrist lock, ankle lock, and if you're feeling spicy, heel hook. That's all you need to be good at jiu-jitsu now. Look at the top. Look at the greats. All got mashup knees and wrists.
Yeah, no, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. I don't think you? I've, I've maybe gone for wrist locks just to be a douchebag to like underbelts, but I don't. So rude, man. Just so wrong. So wrong.
It gives you a thrill. I was going to ask, like, have you got any like injuries from the years of grappling?
Nothing too serious.
That's good.
Nothing too serious. Like I've twisted. Like I've messed up my ankle a little bit. My right toe, my left knee, my left elbow, it's all from the same person.
And that guy still trains. Is he good? Is he a beast?
He is.
Nice.
He is. I didn't want to give him his credits because, you know, I love him so much, but he know who he is. I'm not going to say his name. But
No, mate. Like, look, we've all got mates like that. And they don't, no one's out to hurt each other.
I think it's
the name of the game, right? We do it because it's fun and we enjoy it, but it's inevitable. Like I tell everyone who's new to jiu-jitsu, you will at some stage pick up an injury or two.
Yeah.
But don't be scared off it because of that, because any sport done to a professional, or not even professional, any sport done on a regular basis gets injuries, even swimming.
Yeah.
Look, because I deal with athletes all the time, even the safest sport you can think of pick up injuries.
Right. I mean, yeah, nothing against him. He's a very good guy. He does MMA, he does jiu-jitsu, he does pro wrestling. So he's strong. He's a strong big guy. So
yeah,
but you know,
can he do that? What's his finishing move? Like a choke slam or a DDT? I don't think DDT is allowed anymore, right?
I don't, man. At this point, I don't know what you can and cannot do in wrestling anymore. But I think it's what is it called? It's like the, you remember the Steiner recliner?
Yeah. Oh, he does that?
Yeah.
That's sick. That's a cool move.
I'm not going to give him. Well. You say what?
He's quite acrobatic as well.
No.
Really? Oh, come on, man. Pro wrestler. Come on now. He has to be. Jumping off the top rope.
dude, I would pay so much money to see him jump off a top rope, dude. I told him, I was like,
how big is he?
So if I'm sitting at, I mean, he's definitely got a couple, a few pounds over me.
He's not like Big Show, right? He's not like a Big Show kind
of
guy.
No. He's not like a Big Show kind of guy. He's like, do you follow wrestling now?
Not anymore. I mean, I'm looking at like early 2000s is when I was really following it. Now, it's just...
okay, because I was trying to see who I can name to kind of fit his bill.
John Cena or Brock Lesnar or not Brock Lesnar. Fuck,
that guy's huge. God no. Who was? I can't think of. I was about to say this more recent wrestler name is Jacob Fatu. He's kind of like that big guy. Yeah.
Play. So he's what, like around 200 pounds or whatever you call it.
He's probably about close to
300 pounds. Yeah, man, he's massive.
He's a thick guy. Thick guy. But I love him. I love him to death, man. But like, yeah, he like I said, he does a lot. He's always been naturally strong to begin with, and it's just like even now he's 30. I want to say 30. Four,
okay. Cool.
He's not. Yeah, he's not too much. He's. I know he's younger than me. He's a little younger than me. So he's a. Yeah.
34. Right.
Yeah, I'm not gonna give him too much praise because if he hears this, it's gonna go to his head. So.
Yeah, you've already picked him up. He's a pro wrestler. He's MMA, jiu-jitsu. What did he say? Karate as well, or something?
No. So he does jiu-jitsu, MMA, and wrestling.
Sick, man. Yeah. He sounds like a proper. So your school is tough. This sounds like quite a tough school. Huge guys, all wrestle.
So he trains. He used to train with us at our old school. So he trains at a different. He trains at a different school now.
Right.
Yeah. So the school that we at now, it's like, what, maybe like five of us on a good day, five, six of us on a good day.
Fair play.
So yeah.
Hey, that's fun. That's like, you know, everyone, you get to roll with everyone.
Yeah. Right,
so here's a thought for you. So here, when I was first coming up in jiu-jitsu, there was a term called Creonte or Creon.
Creonte, yeah. Creonte, yeah.
Yeah. So I was training at loads of different places and people were quite shocked. They were like, oh, your instructor allows you to go everywhere. I was like, yeah, I don't really care what he says because I want to see jiu-jitsu as a whole. And then I think it was Carlson Gracie that was popularizing the term. It was everywhere on stage online, like Facebook. Oh, he's a Creon. She's a Creon. And mm-hmm. I didn't know what it meant. Just thought it was like funny. What's your thinking about going to different academies and cross training across multiple different schools?
You know, I have to give bigs up to my instructor because, yeah, you heard that before. You know, when I started training, it was one of those things that was like very frowned upon to go to different schools. And he's like, dude, you're an adult. You don't owe me anything. If you want to go train in other schools, you know, just be respectable about it. And that's how it's been for me. Like I've trained at different, I train at other schools and I make sure that I don't go in, do no, you know, wrist lock nobody's other students. I don't do no douchebag thing like that. But no, I just go in, be respectable, you know, and I'll even, you know, he was like, you know, you can even go as far as calling the school before, give them a heads up and say, is it cool to do a drop in, stuff like that. So I've never been in a situation where I like, hey, I went to go train another school. And he's like, no, get out of here or stuff like that. So, yeah,
I think it, at the start, because it was so niche, there was so few schools, it became a thing of like they might take you as a student for their own
mm-hmm. school.
But I think now that it's exploded in popularity in such a huge way, no one really cares to that. Like they don't need to hold on so tightly because mm-hmm. there's a constant stream of new people coming in all the time.
Yeah.
And there are no secrets in jiu-jitsu. There's no like, oh, this is a Gracie Baja move. And people are, oh, no one cares. Everything's online. Like every single move you can think of is online.
Yeah, you can type it in on YouTube and, you know, and find like 90 people teaching that same move.
Yeah. And like they all got their weird names for like, oh, this is the Jimmy lock. And you go, but it isn't. It's just a normal side
control. Arm lock.
Yeah, an arm lock, yeah. Oh, but it's got my variation on it. It's like, no, it's a normal arm lock that you use like, or the Jimmy lock.
Like,
have
no,
you ever made the move off for yourself? Like the
oh,
Lamar
no.
lock. Oh, come on, no. Lamar lock.
No, man. Oh, no.
Hey, I love naming moves that exist as my own. Just like, so I thought I made up Mother's Milk. I thought for sure I named Mother's Milk because I had big titties when I was a little fatter. So being stuck, this is the first time I got onto mount and I was like, I'm gonna fucking broke up my milk. And I was like, that's my move. That's Mother's Milk. And then I heard it another place. So I was like, ah, oh, fuck. I didn't make it up.
I mean, because nothing is original idea anymore, man. So it's bad enough trying to remember what the like Japanese or the Brazilian terminology for a move.
Do you do the Japanese move? I've never bothered.
No.
Someone did a Juju Katami, and I was like, oh, cool.
Cool.
Know what that is?
Sure. You can show me that. I don't know what that is, but you can show me that.
You can show it. Then there was the chicken wing. I was so excited because like catch wrestling was such a breath of fresh air because their names were just stupid. Double hammer lock, double wrist lock.
Double wrist lock, wing. You know.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. you were like sick. Then they were doing like weird leg stuff and you were like, this is cool. And now it's just part of no-gi jiu-jitsu. I think Craig Jones uses a lot of catch wrestling leg stuff and mm-hmm. crank stuff. But
because I have a good friend of mine's, he does judo. So, you know, we had, you know, linked up at the school and he's like, you know, we're just going, you know, just repping some stuff. And he just kept calling everything by his Japanese name.
Right.
So we're all sitting there looking like,
what's he talking about?
What are you talking about? So then he goes to show it. Then the whole class is like, oh, yeah, we know what that is.
Yeah, that's a guy.
Yeah. So he's like, oh, do you know blah, 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 katami or da, 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 this? I'm like, maybe.
Yeah.
He'll go to show me. I'm like, oh, okay, hip toss, or yeah, I got you.
But
I got
the thing you. Is, the Japanese is exactly what it is. It's like outside trip is what they're saying that in Japanese. It just sounds cooler. And you're like, wow, I know Sotogari.
All right.
He's just saying outside trip. And it's like,
right.
Oh, that's lame.
Like, oh, Saranagi or it was one he kept saying, and I was just like, dude, just I don't know this stuff. Like, he's his pure judo, so it's just all there, you know, all the judo names. So it's like, oh man, you don't know, blah 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 blah. And I just be like, dude, we just had this conversation. No, I don't know about a Japanese name.
But if you show it, I'll know what it is for me. It'll be a bow and arrow choke or something, but we call it something cooler in Japanese. I think it was the Danaher thing that got all the jiu-jitsu dudes saying stuff in Japanese, like, oh, the Ashigarami and the...
Oh, was the Ashigarami, yeah. I'm like, the, what?
It's a leg entanglement. Cool, let's do that. But it's like, Danaher, I cannot for the life of me do a Danaher instructional. 4 hours to explain an armbar. Cool, but I'm not gonna listen to him. Sorry, my brain doesn't have that in it.
Look, I am a huge fan of Danaher's philosophies when someone else's teaches him. Because no knock to him and no knock to any diehard Danaher lovers, but it's just like the monotone voice. It's just I can't. I tried so many occasions to try to watch a video.
That time where we thought we would watch Danaher and be the next Gordon Ryan, but no way.
Mm-hmm. No,
I don't have it. My mate is an amazing jiu-jitsu dude, and he can watch a Danaher instructional, and I'm like, okay, just teach it to me. You learn it, and then just abbreviate it for me. And I'll figure it out.
That's how me and one of my partners are. Like, he can watch a video and be like, oh, this is this and that. But I'm like, nope, you have to show me.
Yeah.
You have to show me.
I think that's how it works, right? We've all got that, like, this is the scholar, and we are like the barbarians who get fed down the watered down version, and we go, okay. Hey, we're doing our best. We like it. We want to be good at it, but we don't have the brain capacity. So dumb it down. Do you watch jiu-jitsu? Like the CGI is kind of funny, but I can't. Do you watch Polaris? Because we have Polaris in the UK. It's huge.
Yep, CGI 2 just started. I watched some of the first one. I really don't care how they did the format this year.
Why? What happened? What's different?
So they did it's a quintet. So it's like, just say for example, me and you are the two coaches. We have five different people, five different weight classes. You choose a fighter, I choose a fighter, and they go for 8 minutes. If it's no submission, they're both eliminated. Yeah. Right. So it's like,
In a way, what I'd like is like a 5-on-5, like a fucking battle royale. And then to see, like, if one person gets someone out, then that team is fucked. Because then it's like 2 against 1. And you just go for the heavy guys. Like, I think the Russians do that in MMA. It's sick. It's basically like
And that's what they did at CGI's, where it was like, yeah, obviously, if you get the submission, you stay in, and the next person from the other team comes in. So it's like, if the match goes 8 minutes and no one gets eliminated, I mean, no one gets a submission, they're both eliminated. So you can be like, okay, if this one person can get a submission,
wipe out, yeah,
and then that kind of throws off the whole thing. But if all five matches goes with no submission, then it go to like a judge's score.
Right.
But I'm like, why won't you just do that for the match? Like, if me and you have a match, and if you are more dominant, you should stay on, and then the other person should be eliminated.
No. I think, you know what? I think what he's trying to do, which I really appreciate, is that I'm a huge advocate for entertainment. This is why me and my mates have fallen out a lot over time, is not like seriously, but in like a funny way. I always want to be entertained. If I'm watching MMA or the UFC, I don't want to watch some guy get wrestled for 15, 20, 25 minutes. I want to see someone get punched in the mouth or kicked in the head or submitted, or like they move from a dominant position to finish. Not just, oh, I'm going to block the choke for 30 minutes and I've lost. That shit.
But that's what I liked about the first CJI, where it was like it was MMA like three rounds. That I was like, if they would have, I thought they would have kept that format because it worked out so well. We saw good matches.
He's because there was a huge prize at the end, right? It was £1 million.
It's $1 million. Yeah, it was $1 million.
And that was for one person. So you had that, like, okay, I need to. I think what he's trying to do is he's trying to figure out a format which will eventually he'll perfect it. I think it'll take him like 3 or 4 goes, but he's working to a point where it's an entertaining show. Because I would love to have a show where it's like one black belt versus two blue belts and see if, but they have to, so a heavyweight black belt against two lightweight blue belts, like they did with Eddie, who's that guy? The one who lifts really heavy.
Eddie Hall
versus those two like Russian dudes, and he just fucking smokes them. That's fun. It would be sick to watch a black belt hold off two blue belts as they try and murder him. It could work.
It could work.
It could be fun.
You know what? I will watch it.
Yeah, I would. I want a bit more freak showiness, but then we devolve into it being WWE. We go from, because if you've ever been to a Polaris show, the atmosphere is dead. We had 400 people in our hall, and I was shouting shit from quite far back, and my mate who was fighting, he could hear me. I was like, why is it that quiet? I was going, hey, shit, mate. And my mate was like, Jay, what are you doing? We need an atmosphere for the sport to be entertaining for both the audience and the fighters. Because imagine going out to a dead arena where it's pin drop silence. Nah, dead. You need an atmosphere. There needs to be right.
You need that roar of the crowd.
Yeah. Like when UFC happened during the pandemic, you could hear the slaps of the punches. No one was enjoying themselves.
Yeah.
The fighters hated it.
Yeah.
You need a casual to be like, twist his dick off or whatever.
Hit him with the old dick twist. That'll forever be one of my favorite videos.
Grab his dick and twist it. You're like, yeah.
That's illegal, but yeah.
we need that in grappling. If grappling is going to make it as a spectator sport, we need entertainment. We need characters. Right.
Yeah,
which Craig Jones is.
Oh, dude, I swear, since he started CJI, the whole thing with Gabby Garcia leading up to it, it's probably been like the most entertaining thing I've seen on social media in a very, very long time.
Good. We need that.
Yeah.
Because I love jujitsu, but I hate seeing it in such a we're watching jujitsu, so no one should speak. It's like, man, it's combat sports.
Right. But anyway, I agree with what you're saying. Like, you know, it's the fact that they're trying to make jujitsu now so mainstream that, yeah, like you said, you need that mix up. You need that difference of just any old sport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at it as a, so we can't go into the Olympics because it's such a confusing rule set that we don't know how to put it into the Olympics.
Right.
And with that comes the neutering of the sport, kind of like what happened to judo. Judo had to take away loads of leg grabs and grip breaks, and it kind of changed judo as a whole. Mm-hmm. Like, old school judo players don't even think that this new thing is judo.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's an Olympic sport. Same with Taekwondo. Taekwondo became more for touch sparring, more for, but then ITF has a more fighting style of it. Mm-hmm. If you look at all of the major sports that are in the Olympics that are combat sports, are lesser for it than the true art. Even boxing. Mm-hmm. Amateur boxing is so different from pro boxing.
Mm-hmm.
So do we want jiu-jitsu in the Olympics? Or do we not?
Because, like, with, like, boxing, like, it's, like, the most strikes or the most landed punches.
But only if it lands with that part of your glove. So it can't be any old flicker jab or anything like that. You can't get points for that.
See, okay, that part I didn't know.
Yeah, because I didn't know that either. Because I was sparring with a amateur, and his style was very like Soviet style, but his punches mm-hmm. would be landing only on that part of the glove. So when I mm-hmm. flick a jab, he said that's not allowed, and I was like, but it's allowed in the pro game. But I'm not a pro. I'm not. I'm just fucking around in the gym, right? So
yeah,
you listen to the guy who's talking to you, who knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. So I just think the Olympics neuters the sport, but it also gives it that prestige where you have a lot more people coming towards it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably one of those things that if they do, is going to be a lot of murky stuff going on. Just like you said with the CJI, where it's like he's trying to be innovative, he's trying something new, which I enjoy because, you know, someone's trying to get the sport out there in a light, you know, in that light. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I like the sport, but I also think that we're at a time where it's going through its weird transition where it's like, oh, it's super gay. And like, there's loads of memes about that. And it's funny, but then it gets more and more insidious as more martial arts think of it as actually gay. And you go, but it's grappling.
Right.
Grappling was originally done naked with oils.
Yeah.
Pretty fucking gay. So, but then you've got the Brazilians who are very anti-gay, and it's quite interesting what we're doing with the marketing of jiu-jitsu. Is it a meme, or is it a great martial art to defend ourselves with?
Why not both?
That's the thing, right? Like, how do I explain it? If you're in both worlds, you're in boxing and in jiu-jitsu. When I'm in a boxing gym, they're like, oh mate, you guys do some gay shit. And you're like, I can't disagree. Yes, we're all mounted on top of people, we're behind mm-hmm. people's backs. I've sung a lullaby to my friend as I tried to choke
him. Of course.
Part of the game. But then boxing also is pretty gay. Like when you square off, you're like face to face. You're like,
yeah, you're right here. Like, your mushy nose is like, oh, come on, dude.
pretty gay.
Pretty so gay.
I would say all combat sports, if you look at the true core of it, is quite homosexual. And it's like, you can fight me on it, but.
No, look. So our grandmaster Francisco Mansur, he said, and I quote, jiu-jitsu without submissions is Kama Sutra.
There we go.
and the first time I ever heard that come out this man's mouth, I was just like, you are so right. I was like, it's so bad how right this is. But
because I remember I was in a position with my friend, and we were basically scissoring, and I was like, what are we doing? We're both in skin tight outfits with superheroes on our chest, scissoring,
sweaty.
And you go, cool. I hope no one sees this. Because at one stage, all of my Tinder Bumble profiles were just jiu-jitsu pictures because I had no other pictures. And I was like, what is that picture, Jay? What is it? Why have you done this? Why is that your picture?
The only picture that's cool that could be jiu-jitsu if you're not doing jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. It's when you're standing there like, ah, finish, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Other than that, everything is good. Everything else is good.
And yeah, that's why I never got any matches until I changed those pictures. Hey, I thought I was being a tough guy.
But, like, yeah, I got this. Like, to us, like, oh man, that's a pretty dope picture. Everybody else was like, why is he holding it? Like, why is he holding that man like that? Like,
oh man, it's that. I don't think. Okay, for me, I love it, but people out said. You've got friends that don't do combat sports. Have you ever tried to explain to them why you enjoy this activity so much? Ever?
It's easier to explain jiu-jitsu to people if they don't have no interest in ever watching jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. That's what you do. It's all right.
Because they're like, oh, you know, you do jiu-jitsu. Was it like karate? I'm like, no, yeah. It's more like joint. I say like, no, it's more like wrestling and joint locks. And, you know, I try to jazz it up a little bit and not make it sound like, oh, yeah, you know, I spend half the day between another man's legs.
Saying little things to each other.
I know, right?
Really, you pussy.
Right. But I do got friends who are into like combat sports, like boxing, karate, taekwondo and Muay Thai and stuff. And it's like, oh, what you doing today? Oh, I'm about to go roll with sweaty men. I'm like, oh, well, have fun.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, good. Yeah, at least buy them a drink after. And you're like, yeah, thanks, yeah.
Right. But yeah, people who have absolutely no idea what jiu-jitsu is, oh, yeah, I'll jazz it up. Like, oh, man, you know, it's wrestling. It's...
Yeah, nearly lost a tooth last time, mate. Yeah, he's big. Right. 300 kg. Fucked him up. But... I think what I'm trying to get at is that I think it's a really fun art. Loads of people should try it, but it's also something that I think people shouldn't make into their whole existence, because I'm seeing a lot of people leave good jobs to try and pursue this as a career. And you go, dude, you're a lawyer. Be a lawyer. You're never going to make that money doing jiu-jitsu as a lifestyle.
Like, dude, you're a shift supervisor at McDonald's. Calm down.
Maybe that could be. But this is the thing. It's like, you must see it all the time. As an instructor, you see a churn of people. You've been training, what, 12 years or so?
About 10 years, yeah.
So you've seen, like, you've been training almost as long as me. So you've seen that churn of people come and go of like, I'm going to be world champ. Blue belt, they're gone. Oh, God. I've got a fucking massive tattoo of Helio Gracie on my chest. Gone. And you go, why?
No, that's gay.
That's his instructor. That's his heritage. That's his lineage. And you're like, dude, chill out. They don't even know you exist.
Yeah. We've seen tattoos, like, you know, people who get tattoos of like the Gracies or something like that. And my instructor was like, look, he said, I love you to death, but if I ever see you get a tattoo of my face on your body.
That's a free lifetime membership if he gets a tattoo of my face onto his for any part of his body.
Ah, yes. Forever. Yes, I thought about getting, you know, I thought about the school logo, you know, getting our school logo tatted, but like someone's face.
Don't do that, because I got my first school right here, right? So the turtle's mine, and then the logo is there, right?
That's dope.
But I left the school maybe 3 months after, massive fallout with the instructor, and a guy in the changing room when he saw my tattoos, like, mate, you fucked yourself now. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, that's a curse. And I was like, ugh, 3 months gone. Don't do it. It's not worth it. Get anything else.
Gotcha. That's why I haven't done it yet.
Take Whatever. It from me. Don't do it. Do something else.
He said, learn from my experience. Do not do it. Do not do it.
It's tempting because all of them look so cool. Like, oh, it's a bulldog or it's like a chess piece. Oh, yeah. It looks so cool. I'm playing chess, human chess. Nah, you're just a loser with a weird tattoo on your body.
Right, then, yeah, like if, like you said, if you ever fall out with the school, now you got to explain to everybody, like, what shoulder. It's a long story. It's something from my past. Don't worry about it.
But you know what? It's better than the tattoo I wanted when I was 15 years old. Do you watch Dragon Ball Z?
Yes.
I was going to get Shenron all the way down my arm to, like, my finger where his tail would end. And I was like, yeah, that's going to look hard as fuck.
That'd have been dope.
It would have been, but I would also grow up with having Shenron up my arm. And I'm glad I don't have that.
Because if you get something like that, you have to fight.
That was the thing my mate told me when I got my cauliflower. He's like, now you can't quit until you can actually fight. And I was like,
yeah,
this is true. Because then I just have a crippled ear for nothing. Oh, man.
All right, Jay, man, we come to the part of the show. We ask everybody that comes on answer this question. Past or present, man, your top three people you would love to get a chance to roll with.
All right. Can they be celebrities?
Anybody you would love to roll with.
Want to roll with Keanu Reeves, because I think if I can prove to him I'm good, he'll put me in one of his movies as like an extra, and that would be sick. Like John Wick 5. Me coming out, a little bit of jujitsu, getting fucked up, would be sick. Second would be, I really want to roll with one of the Gracies that is like older, so I can beat them and then tell that story in a pub. It'd probably be, who's the guy? Who's that guy that Sakuraba fucked up a couple of times? Henzo. It was Henzo.
Henzo. Uh-huh.
I don't know if I can beat him. He's still kind of like young. I think when he's like 60 or 70, fuck him up. That's who I'd want to roll with. And then the last one. I think I'd want to roll with someone that has a really high accolade. Ooh, Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee would be fun.
I think you're probably the first person to say Bruce Lee.
Yeah, because did you watch Enter the Dragon? He did some jujitsu in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That Sammo Hung to that weird arm lock thing where he made him tap out, and I was like, "Oh, I think I can get out of that."
Now, real quick, before we leave, because I know this happened. My top three changes so much. So much. But right now, I would love to roll, like you said, Keanu Reeves has always been on my list. Tom Hardy is another person.
Oh, mate. He is a good guy. He's a good guy.
And I want to roll with Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
He'd be hilarious. I think
that's why I would roll. That's what I would like. That's why I would like to roll with him.
Nice.
But yeah, so like I've been, you know, like I said, we've been doing martial arts for like around the same time. Have there's ever been a time where you've watched? Well, you're also on film too. So like, have there ever been a time where you watched a movie that you watched pre martial arts, go back and be like,
he's crossing his legs in a choke.
What?
What an idiot! Anytime I'm watching a horror movie, I was like, oh, if Jason did that to me, what I'd do, right?
Right. Like, I gotta do is just get my elbow in.
Just pull up your neck, right? And then you get out of it. That's all I do. Oh, yeah, that move, that worked, mate. Bullshit.
It's like I've watched movies now. I'm like, okay, let's go in as a fan of the movie, not a martial artist.
Anytime there's even a light bit of jiu-jitsu, I'm like, yeah, she's done that wrong.
As soon as I see grappling, I'm locked in. Like, let's see what he's gonna do wrong. Let's see. Like, no, never work. Trash movie.
Oh man, babe, all the time. I don't think I could watch a movie anymore without going, that shit grappling. He's never trained a day in his life.
Because like I rewatched Black Panther recently, and the scene when he was fighting
Killmonger.
Yeah, no, not when he's fighting M'Baku for the
Oh yeah, for the first one.
Yeah, for the mantle, and he caught him in that like reverse triangle, and I was like,
oh, dude,
that, so much space.
He can breathe.
Right, like, away. Push his foot away. Just push his foot away. He never listens, so but you know, we see what happens. But
mate, that's why when I made my first movie, I put a little bit of jiu-jitsu in, because I knew if I got too nerdy with it, it just fall apart. So in the new movie that I'm making, it's a female-led movie. I was asking an actress to transition from, so she's in a guy's guard. So a guy's in a guard, and she has to transition from an armbar to a triangle. And she couldn't do it. Like, she couldn't do it. And I was like, it's so simple. Just do this and this. And then eventually I had to like chop it. I was like, chop. So it doesn't look good to me, but I know everyone else will be like, kind of works. But I was pissed. I was like, oh, it's basic triangle. Come on. But I haven't trained.
Right. Well, Jay, man, unless you got any questions for me, man, please plug yourself, man. Let people know what defines you, what you're doing with yourself, man. The floor is all yours.
You can find me if you want a massage, Turtle Massage. I'm in London, Hammersmith. If you want to look at my movies, I'm Original Flavor on Instagram. And yeah, check me out as I make weird movies and massage athletes. Nice having me, mate. The most awkward bit is this bit.
I got this rub on. I strangle men and then I rub on them.
I break them, then I fix them.
Right, and I feel myself while I'm doing it. Yeah, let's just make this more creepy, right?
Nah, too late. That's my whole job.
That's my whole job. Oh man, well, that's the end of today's episode. I would like to thank Jay one more time for coming on the show and bless us with the jiu-jitsu knowledge, man. I hope you guys enjoyed. Please make sure you follow us on all social media platforms. This has been Talk Jiu-Jitsu Podcast. Keep rolling, keep grinding, and remember, long live jiu-jitsu. Have a great day.
Take it easy.